You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Hamilton, Stratford and Chepstow on this edition. We've also got racing from Brighton and Sligo on Tuesday. Tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, Paddy Aspall and Andrew Mount to hear all of the action live as it happens. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is James Milman. Hello, James.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Good stuff. You've been riding out, obviously, for the yard. Have you got all your staff back now?
Well, staff are back, and I'm back in here. Obviously, my useful work hands managed to get Hell of a Haste to come second in this race the other day. So, obviously, a bonus me going back home for the yard, but that was pretty good because the owners will offer a bit of money. Ashley won her maiden and decided to keep her, so it was great. She got a bit of black type to reward them at Newmarket on Saturday.
Had you been riding that one?
I rode it for the first 6 weeks when I got back from holiday, so I did all the pre-training on it,
right,
and I rode it for a couple of weeks before this race, so I take all the credit.
Yeah,
down to
of
me.
Course. Does any of that prize money translate into your back pocket,
unfortunately,
James?
Not.
No?
I had a couple of pounds on each way, so I was rewarded in that way.
Right.
And unfortunately for the naps table, she did come second, which is a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. You could be second by a short head or tailed off at the back of the TV on
it's
the
exactly
on
the same
table.
For the naps. Yep. She was around about 9-1. I'd say she wants 7 furlongs, so hopefully Dad's got a real nice filly on her hands and she can be a Saturday horse of the yard.
Yeah, good stuff. Hopefully so. We're going to take a look at the Monday jury then, as we always do on Tuesday's podcast, before we move on to look at four races on Tuesday. And we start with a question about one of the weekend's highlights horses. We're some way off now, but how does Harzand rate against the other ARC candidates? I suppose it's been possibly a weaker year, would you say, for the three-year-olds?
I would say a very, very weak three-year-old crop as a whole. And he's tough. He gets a job done. Nothing flashy about him, but he's always winning. And beating Idaho on Saturday, it was a decent effort. But I think we've got a better filly in the three-year-old generation. I don't know whether the three-year-old generation is anywhere near as good as the older horses. Postponed for me. He's a bit of a superstar now. He's been very impressive this season and in the Shima Classic over in Dubai, and then getting the job done in the Coronation Cup at Epsom. So I've been really impressed with him. I think he'll be very hard to beat in the King George. Obviously, Harzand, next target realistically is going to be the ARC. They're not too sure where they're going to have a prep run. Minding could be one that's also heading to the ARC. I definitely prefer Minding over Harzand, but I think both could be vulnerable to the older horses.
Yeah, with just a point between them in the betting, it's 5-1 postponed. Harzand 6-1. Take it from that, you'd be more than happy to sacrifice
definitely
a point of value.
We would be with postponed, who I've been seriously impressed with. But take nothing away from Harzand, he might find more again because he just seems to do the bare minimum, a little bit like a sire. See the stars. There's nothing really flashy about him, but he keeps getting the job done.
Indeed. On to the other big race then that came on Saturday. Would Northumberland Plate winner Antiquarium have a chance in the Melbourne Cup?
Well, he showed a real impressive turn of foot to make up a lot of ground, which isn't that easy at Newcastle. I think Seymour hit the front far too soon. And Ben Curtis, he looked a likely winner before tying up in the closing stages, but really quicking up nicely. Obviously, a jockey on board, James McDonald's probably got a better idea than me as to whether he's a Melbourne Cup candidate, but stays 2 mile well and has got a good turn of foot. So that's qualities you need to go over to Australia. And you'd imagine he won that off a pretty high mark. He'll get into the Melbourne Cup and that will be a future target, and probably with James McDonald on board.
Well, Richard Fahey's comments regarding that are quite interesting, James. He suggests that you'd need to place at group level just to get a run in the Melbourne Cup. It is becoming that kind of race.
It's a proper group race. It's actually run as a handicap.
Yeah.
And there are options out there. You can win a trial and qualify via that way. But be fair, the handicap was pretty competitive there. And I found him play it the other day. Not Sergeant Cecil, who my dad trained, he won it about 10 years ago, and then he went on to be a group horse. Mm. So generally now, if you win one of those kind of races, you're not too far off cup level. So I think he'd be capable of being competitive at group level anyway. But like I say, you've got to be pretty high just to get in the race.
Yeah, absolutely. Question number three then. Give us a horse or two to follow away from the limelight, be this from the Millman Yard or further afield.
Well, from the limelight, obviously it was a listed race, but I will keep an eye on Hell of a Haste, yeah. who was second. I think it was the Empress Stakes at Newmarket on Saturday. She's not a sprinter at all, so the fact that she was able to come second over 6 furlongs is a massive bonus, because she doesn't feel very quick at home, and I think she'd be much better over 7 furlongs to a mile. And like I say, it was a really good game effort. And for me, I think she's got a chance of being pretty useful over 7 furlongs and a mile. So Hell of a Haste would be my one to keep an eye on, and generally, because as a yard, we're probably not quite as fashionable as some of the others in the very, very big races, you'll get a little bit of each-way value about her.
Okay, next question. Who do you like in the Eclipse at Sandown on Saturday? Obviously, the Gurkha has found his way to the head of affairs after Aidan O'Brien has entered him up there. And a lot of people sort of saying, was he given a different ride? Was Frankie Dettori not superb on Galileo Gold? Would have won the St. James's Palace as well.
Yeah, he was unlucky in the St. James's Palace. I would go for the Frankie gave his horse a great ride.
Yeah.
Took advantage of the pacemakers. Circumstances were against Ryan. It wasn't all his fault. He didn't want to be that far behind, but he's just forced through it, and he ended up having too much ground to make up. But 1.25 miles, I think that would suit him even better. And he's a very, very decent horse. Obviously, the ground there is waterlogged Sunday. A lot of rain on Friday. I think it's 45 mils. The ground's going to be very, very soft, which is such a shame, because Time Test, I think, is a really, really decent horse for a Roger Charlton. He won the Gordon Richard Stakes, I think it was, very, very impressively on quick ground. He does not go on soft. He won't be running if it is too soft, which is such a shame, because I think he would win it quite easily. Again, 3-year-olds I don't think are a particularly strong crop, but soft ground races, we ain't got too many soft ground horses about. My Dream Boat, obviously he was very impressive at Ascot. He's going to be a big danger, but I'll say a bit of a funny Prince of Wales that he won. So nothing really, really strong for me. Probably I would back Clive's horse out of the ones we've got, Mind Dream Boat, just because he can get the job done and he loves the track, and he won over course and distance back in the spring.
Okay, 11-4 is for My Dream Boat. Interesting you mentioned Time Test there. Just before we recorded the podcast, James, I just noticed on Twitter the Charlton Yard have actually entered a pacemaker into that race as well as Time Test. So not to second-guess trainers, but does that look...
Well, it looks more positive and they might take a chance. Obviously, he went to the Breeders' Cup, had a bad draw, but the ground was considered far too soft, and they took him all the way to the Curra, and he was pulled out that day when the ground was too soft. So generally, Roger's been very keen to keep him away from it, but the summer we're having, he might not get many fast ground races. That's the trouble, but I say he's got a lot of ability, and he is the most talented, but on soft ground, he probably isn't going to be the best.
Okay, the Gurkha then 13-8 for the Eclipse. My Dream Boat 11-4, 7-2 about Time Test, 8 Hawk Bill, and double figure prices for the rest of them. Looking forward to that one come Saturday. The next question then, and the penultimate one on the jury this week: could you see Shergar Cup bound Hayley Turner making a permanent return? Obviously, she rides in the Shergar Cup. She's also going to ride in the Legends race as well this year. Do you think that'll trigger a comeback?
Hard to know, really. It depends how much she's missing it. She's had a very, very successful career. Come back for one day. I think she's going to rub a few rides beforehand, because
to get back into
you
the
need to
swing.
To have 5 rides in one day. You can't just pop back and do that. Because
really,
I would I'm reasonably fit, but after one race, I wouldn't be able to go out again. So despite how much you ride out at home and stuff, it's not the same. So when jockeys have an injury, they normally come back and they have one ride, maybe 2 rides, but not 5 in a row in very highly competitive races. Yeah. So she's going to need to have to ride for a couple of weeks, I'd say, just to get her eye in. Obviously, she's got a few trainers that used her before. Whether she'll want to come back again, I don't know. It depends how much she's missing it. For me, when I retired, there was the odd horse I wanted to ride, but I definitely wouldn't want to be doing it every day. Hayley doesn't have to diet, which is obviously a lot of help for her, but I'd say she's quit for reasons, and those reasons haven't changed. Racing's still 24/7. She hasn't got a Group 1 job and such to go to, so I'm not too sure. But like I say, I think it's a shame Josephine Gordon perhaps wasn't given a chance, because she's really impressed me this year, a jockey who is going places, and perhaps we should have been looking to the future rather than the past. But good luck to Hayley in what she does.
Is that possibly because the powers that be are reluctant to put an apprentice, a claimant,
well, I think it,
the Shergar Cup?
It does cause a few issues because obviously Josephine will be claiming £3 like Sammy Jo Bell was last year, and it's obviously given her an advantage as such. For me, I think you could have just changed the rules to say that you can't claim in these races like you do in listed races or whatever, which would have been much easier, because Sammy Jo Bell, she's obviously had a very nasty injury, but apparently she wouldn't have been asked back anyway, and yet she won it last year.
Really?
So, because obviously that's the same principle.
Yeah.
She's claiming free. She won it last year. Josephine Gordon was claiming free. I don't see why they couldn't have Josephine Gordon if they were going to have Sammy Jo Bell.
Yeah.
So that must mean that they thought it was a little bit awkward having someone claiming, and maybe that's why. But like I say, I think you could just change the rules to say that you ride on level terms like you would in a listed race or whatever. So, interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And the final question then on this week's Monday Jury, and one we'll have to tread carefully around, James. What do you make of the referendum outcome, and will it affect our industry?
Really dodgy question, asking me that.
The focus there will be on the second part of the question. How will it affect racing, not just what do you make of the referendum?
Yeah, I could be losing my job for William Hill. The referendum affecting racing. To be honest, just reading the paper today, obviously the pound has dropped a lot, but it might encourage people to come here and buy our horses because it'll make them better value as such. That realistically, nobody knows what it's going to affect the economy, etc., for the long term. A very, very difficult question to ask. Racing exists in its own little bubble. As long as racing still happens, they don't really care too much what goes on in the outside world. So as a whole, it's not going to make a great deal. Obviously, if the economy is damaged, unfortunately, owners won't be able to have as many horses as what they have in the past, because obviously they're not going to have as much money. So that's going to be a little bit of a concern. But maybe we've got too many horses in training as it is. I don't know. But it's a very, very difficult question to answer, because the whole country's in a bit of a mess at the minute anyway. So racing's the least of anyone's concerns, to be honest.
I suppose it won't affect those owners right at the very top, the sort of uber rich. And I know how keen you are on the rich Richie horses. And I don't think it will have an effect on him, James.
No, it's more the businessmen and stuff. If businesses suffer, like when we had the last recession in 2009, it's one of the reasons why I retired, because a lot of our owners from that recession, they weren't able to justify spending £20,000 a year on a racehorse when they're making staff redundant. Some numbers will reduce, but racing as a whole, it will survive. But I think more society in general has got more to worry about, not just racing.
Yeah, perhaps so. Thank you very much for that, James. Anything else on your mind then before we move on to Tuesday's action?
After that question, probably not. We'll move on.
Okay, very wise. We'll get stuck into Tuesday's action now then. As I said, we begin with two races from Hamilton. We've also got a preview to come from Stratford and Chepstow. But the first port of call is the 3 o'clock race at Hamilton on Tuesday afternoon. We've got a mile and a half handicap here. 8 runners at the time of recording, so plenty of each way options should you choose to go in that direction. What did you make of this one?
Pretty competitive stuff, isn't it, to be honest? We've got the top weight, the kid, for John Quinn and Dougie Costello. Got his confidence back winning at the bottom grade. He won a seller at Catterick, which was his first win since July 2014. It's only 2 years since the last one. First win since joining the Quinn Yard. And it should boost his confidence. But 73, he's been struggling off that mark in handicaps previously, so it will certainly need to improve him. San Quentin is a horse who's done extremely well for Dean Ivory in the winter. Won 5 races for that stable, but surprisingly was moved to another yard, and David Lochnane now trains him. But he got off a mark on his first run for him at Hamilton, taking advantage of a much reduced turf mark after a couple of disappointing efforts for Dean, and was a decent second at Hamilton again. But he's now back up to 72, the mark which he had struggled off in the past, so that could be a little bit of a question mark. Lara Carbonara, for the Irish trainer John Patrick Shanahan, he won at Hamilton in an amateur riders contest the other day, and he's just finding his form a little bit now. He was rated as high as 70. Again, the penalty takes him to 72. So a lot of these horses are going to be a little bit high in the handicap. So I'm going to take a chance on one of the three-year-olds that's getting plenty of weight, and that is Godolphin's Long Cool, trained by Charlie Appleby, ridden by Martin Lane. He ran pretty well to finish second to Prosecute at Yarmouth last time. I only beaten half a length. Prosecute was well backed on that occasion. So I think that's pretty decent form. And the fact they're taking him all the way up to Musselburgh does suggest I think he's got a very, very good chance. And I think Long Call is going to be pretty hard to beat.
Okay, Long Call then gets the pick for James in the 3 o'clock. The 4 o'clock at Hamilton then is a 6 furlong handicap. We've got 10 runners down for this Class 4. What did you make of this one?
Yeah, again, competitive stuff at Hamilton. 10 runners. One that's very, very lightly raced is Birkdale, who won his maiden over course and distance back in June. He was Evans' favourite, so we didn't really learn too much about him. But he's a horse which has been pretty highly regarded, was originally trained by Richard Fahey, but along with all the David Armstrong horses, has left that stable and now joins the care of David O'Mara. I'd say he got the job done pretty nicely over course since 26 days ago. 77's a pretty fair mark, and I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. But got a few decent horses in opposition. One that's pretty consistent over course since is Tick the Box for David Brown and Tom Eaves. He won back in September last year off 71 and was a good second here at Hamilton back on the 13th of May, beaten ahead by Dodgy Bob of 77. He's now up to 80. I think he'll be pretty dangerous, the son of approved, but he might just be at the top of his handicap rating with a mark of 80, whereas Birkdale off 77, he could be much better than what he's shown so far, as he's only running three maidens. So I think Birkdale will win. Of the others, the older horses, Box and Ash, he's got loads of course distance form off top weight for Jason Hart and Eric Olsen. Quite well handicapped now in his old form. I think he'd be a good each way bet, but I think he could be vulnerable given weight to the younger horses. So Birkdale will be the selection in the 4 o'clock at Hamilton.
Birkdale then for David O'Mara, and Danny Tudhope gets the pick in the 4 o'clock. We go to Stratford now for a bit of jumping action. This is their 7.50. 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase for us here. 7 runners to sort out. Just throwing a little handicap chase just to keep you on your toes, James.
Yeah, definitely. And we had some good racing yesterday at Toxa, actually. We had the Summer National, whatever it was called. But we had Menorah and horses like that, which...
Yeah, the John Smith Summer Cup.
Yeah, it's kind of horses you'd see at Cheltenham. Yeah. So we've got a pretty high grade level of summer jumping. And this is a decent contest, 0-130, so we've got some nice chases in action here, and a couple that are in pretty good form. In Somchine for Seamus Mullins, he won 8 days ago, he's got a £7 penalty, he'll be interesting, but I'm going to go for the top weight, Walden Prince for David Bridgewater and Tom Scudamore. Very consistent, and was a good second to Parsnip Pete at Aintree. Parsnip Pete travelled extremely well in that said race at Yatoxeter yesterday, so that was a good boost for the form. He won at Huntingdon back in October. And I think he's got every chance there, Walden Prince, for David Bridgewater and Tom Scudamore. If you want one at the lower end of the weight, it's be one for the Boss, trained by Di Birchall, ridden by Robbie Dunn. He got off a mark last time out pretty nicely, did one for the Boss, but just needs to improve, stepping up into a stronger grade. So I'm going to stick with Walden Prince's selection.
The top weight then, Walden Prince gets the vote for James in the 7.50 at Stratford. The final race on today's podcast then comes up in the shape of the 8.10 at Chepstow. This is a long distance handicap here. 2 miles is the trip facing these 13 runners. What do you make of these stayers, James?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough test and soft ground at Chepstow over 2 miles for these. And the one I'm going to go for is Art Folly, who runs for Stuart Kiddo and Martin Dwyer. Art Folly is a course distance winner in the past. He's won 3 races on the flat, 1 over hurdles, and he's generally been in pretty good form in the hurdling sphere of late. He's been mixing the two codes, and he goes on soft ground very, very effectively. So Art Folly is a reasonably confident selection for me for Stuart Kiddo, a yard that's in pretty decent form. He's consistent off his mark at 65, and I think he'll be pretty hard to beat. Jezza has plenty of form at the track, but this is a slightly higher grade of contest than what he normally runs in for Victor Dartnell and Kieran Schumark. The other Kiddo horse could be interesting, Climaticos, who was rated much higher than this in the past. He's running off 70 tomorrow, yet he did reach a mark of 80 back in 2013. He's been running okay over hurdles as well for Stuart Kiddo. Finished second in a handicap hurdle at Fosslos last time out off 109. So I don't think there'll be too much between the two Kiddo horses, but I'm going to go for Art Folly as a selection. Of the others, Horse Guards Parade, a winner at Savile on the Your Weather back in the winter. He's been running well in handicaps of late and was a good third behind Jack Bear last time out, but I'd say 70 could be a high enough mark for him. So I'm going to stick with Art Folly for the 8.10 at Chepstow.
Okay, Art Folly then is the pick in that one. Just remind us, please, one more time, James, your 4 selections for the races that we've looked at on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're going to go for Long Call, the Godolphin runner, in the 3 o'clock at Hamilton. Most of his rivals are pretty exposed and at the top of the handicap marks, whereas he was second to Prosecute, a decent horse at Yarmouth last time, and I think he's still handicapped. In the 4 o'clock, we're going for another lightly raced three-year-old in Birkdale, who is now in the care of David Amaro. One is made nicely over course and distance and could be well handicapped off a mark of 77. Stratford, for the jump racing, we're going for Walden Prince in the 750. Probably a class above the opposition. Was a good second to Parsnip Pete last time out. And finally, the 810 at Chepstow. We're going for the course and distance winner, R. Folly, for Stuart Kitto and Martin Dwyer.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of James Millman ahead of the racing on Tuesday. Thanks for that, James, and enjoy the action.
No worries.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50pm in the company of Gary Caprell, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount on Tuesday. We've got all the meetings covered from Hamilton, Stratford, Chepstow, Brighton and Sligo on Racing Radio. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.